Blog Talk Radio.
Clear out there, it's warm, and it feels good. I hope you all got a chance to get outside today and do your thing, because those of you who went to work, I hope you were safe and everything went good there, and those of you who are still in quarantine, I hope you got a chance to get out, take a little walk, and see a little bit about what's going on out there, which is quite a lovely day. Now, I have a little bit of a sore throat, and a little hoarse tonight, so forgive the voice, but yeah, I'm keeping it a little bit low-key. I was actually outside doing some gardening at one point and mowing the other day, and when I did that the other day, it just kind of kicked into my throat, and finally the last couple of days, been catching up to that, all that work I was doing out there. So today's been one of those days, a little bit outside and a lot of it inside, so getting things done and getting ready for tonight's show, and I'm really glad you're here. There's a lot of stuff going on. What a Memorial Day weekend. What a combination of different things that took place. It's interesting to see some of the news if you've watched it. And not only that, just locally where a lot of people were out and about. But in some parts of the country, they were going wild. Like, in other words, not a lot of social distancing. And a lot of arrogance in the few people that were interviewed about why they're not wearing masks. We know why a lot of people are not wearing masks. We're not going to get into that right now. We're not going to get into, getting into political rain tonight. Political rain, I should say. But sadly, there's been a lot of spikes going on. And one thing I keep saying, that it's too early, too soon to open a lot of stuff right now. Not to mention the fact that there were so many churches that health services. Now, a lot of them were very, very clear in telling their parishioners they'll keep doing it via the satellite and the internet and in parking lots in some places, but that they were not opening up the chapels. And then others did, and they kept it at a moderate distance. But sadly, there were plenty of chapels that had wall-to-wall people. And you know that that's not a good recipe. Anyway, it's what happens. It's sort of the nature of being in your house for a couple of months and not going out and not seeing friends and not being able to hug and see people and be around people. And I'll tell you why. I understand that. I'm completely going through the same stuff. I have to work every day at staying together, staying happy, connecting with a few people that I do connect with. But I got to, be working on myself to keep myself going and up so I can be here on the radio with you guys, but also so that, we don't slip backwards, because they're not kidding that, being inside for an extended period of time can cause a lot of side effects too. The catch-22 is that, if you're in a cave and there's a couple of hungry bears right outside, after a while, you're going to just take a chance, like you see in movies all the time. We're going to go and we're going to sneak through the woods and get past the bears and get some water down the stream or whatever it is. It makes complete sense. And I 100% understand our survival instincts. But there's also an ability for us to be a little smarter and not take anything for granted right now. Even though Washington is sort of flat right now, there's not too many additional cases being reported, as many anyway. And I'm not sure if there's been no deaths in the last few days in Washington, I'm pretty sure. But whatever that number is, you can check that out easily. But the point being is that it's not a time to get complacent and take chances. And I harp on that during the course of the day. There's a few different people that I talk to who are a little, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to do that. You're wearing a mask, you get home, taking care of yourself. Oh, yeah, no problem. I'm still seeing a lot of people out there. heading into markets, going shopping. So the risk of being around other people is high risk right now, even for the simplest tasks. All right, so one thing I want to talk about that I'm really excited about is Zenness. Now, if you grew up in the same period of time that I did, you were privy and probably a teenager when the first NASA flights took off, the Mercury program that happened in the late 50s, right after Sputnik, the Russians beat us to it. And then the, you know, the Gemini flights and the Apollo flights, of course, and then the moon flights, and then all the space shuttle flights and all that. If you were raised amongst that space program in the beginning, we absolutely have it in our systems. There's very few people in my category age who built, born, say, in the from 1950 all the way up to 1960 or something like that. You remember. A lot of people remember the night in August many years ago when the first man stepped on the moon and they had a broadcast on TV. And I part of me still feels like that maybe is like a big joke. It was a couple of movies. There was a movie with David Janssen called Marooned, and it was all about a staged space flight that never really happened. Anyway, long story short, they look good at Hollywood, though, right? How would you know the difference? How do we know the difference? Well, here's the difference. So one of my hobbies has become during the shutdown, because I am not used to not working into the evening and then getting home usually about 10:30 at night and my clock's going off. I may have some food, and I may be working in the studio, working on some music or some videos. So my body clock wasn't totally prepared for such a shutdown. I had a couple of days since work stopped a few days before the official quarantine for me. But I started getting into, you know, just trying to balancing out my brain. And I'm not sure how I first heard about looking it up, but I think it just came up on Google one day where it said the International Space Station viewing schedule. And I looked at that, that's weird. So I went into the schedule and I looked around and I said, oh, wow. So technically, as far as I could tell, at 10:46 tonight, as well as 3:30 in the morning, there's going to be a flyover right over where I live. And it's going to last for 6 minutes. And if it's a clear night, I can probably see it. And I remember the first night I got all the coordinates, all the timing together, getting ready. And the first time I did it, it was about 2:35 in the morning. And I was pretty much up till 12:30. I think I fell asleep at 1, but I set my alarm for 15 minutes in advance. And this was right in the beginning of the quarantine, so I put my coat on and my shirt and my turtleneck and a scarf and a mask and then a regular mask underneath this mask, a hat, rubber gloves, because at that point I kept thinking, wow, I haven't been out of the house. Maybe it could be in the air. So I got out there, and I had some clear glasses. Like my, by the way, my Starsky had 70 glasses. My other ones broke, so these are the only ones I have that I can actually see with when I'm doing the TV and studio stuff. Anyway, long story short, I was out there, and I got my coordinates together, and the sky happened to be really clear. And I'm looking at my watch, and I got my compass, by the way, so I'm kind of moving around until I get exactly the right spot. And I get the coordinates. I'm up there and I'm doing it. Out in the center of my yard, because then there's no wires in the house, I can see the whole sky. And I keep looking, and all of a sudden it's 2 minutes to go. And then a minute, and then finally the time is coming. I'm looking, okay. I see some, my eyes have now adjusted a little bit. I'm seeing some stars and some planets, which is pretty cool. I'm starting to, you know, my eyes are calming down. There's a street light down the street, but I'm able to stand by a tree and block it so it doesn't get into my eyes. And I'm looking and I don't see anything. And I have no idea what this is going to look like. I mean, I see some bright stars. Is it going to be like a star? Is it going to be like a plane that flies over? Which tons of planes fly over here. It's just like a crossover place between a lot of airlines that are going over to the Orient or going, you know, south and north. And plus there's an Army Air Force base pretty close, so we get flyers all the time. and occasionally at night. Suddenly, I'm looking at the sky, and I see what looks like a big star, and it's moving. It's actually moving. I'm going, oh, my gosh, it's incredible. It keeps moving, and I'm thinking, that's got to be it. That's it. And I'm completely bundled up, and I got my scarf on, and my mask on. I'm like, but I'm just looking at it. It's just amazing. And my head is going. I'm taking my time. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Now, my eyesight is not great, but I could see it. I couldn't see it crystal clear, and I tried to take a few pictures, and I did get a couple of pictures of little dots, I think. Anyway, it's supposed to last 6 minutes total. I'm looking at my clock, and there's only 2 minutes left, but it's just about over my head now. Anyway, it lasted for about 12 or 13 minutes, and then it vanished. And I tell you what, I had to sit down. I was still outside. And I thought, oh, I better get inside just in case, which I did. And I was just, it just got me. I don't know if it moved something in me. I think it was, you know, the fourth or fifth night of the quarantine, and haven't been able to see anybody. I see my partner, and she's pretty close, but we have to stay distant because she had a bad flu before this all happened. I couldn't see anybody that I worked with, nobody else. So I was pretty much alone except for me and space station. All right, so after that happened, I calmed down. The next day, I just did some research. And since then, I've probably seen about 15 to 20 flyovers, maybe more now, all different times of the night. I've got it down now. I know how long it's going to take until it's actually in vision, how long it's going to last, and I know what the conditions of being able to see it are. But a couple of times when it was sort of cloudy, I still was able to get parts of it. And every time I did it, I just felt great. I felt, wow, this is a Stuardo and space station thing. I told a few people about it. Oh, that's great. But it really is a special experience, and I've talked about it on the show. And I actually have gotten a couple of letters that people have written me, little emails. And by the way, we're going to start tweeting now, so I'll give you the tweet. I guess it'll be more direct and more easy. And a couple of people checked it out, and they were amazed. Okay, so anyway, and then there's another part to the story. There's a Starlink satellite. Understanding being able to see up to 60 to 80 satellites at once. I have had one vision of that too in the last 8 weeks. I'll tell you about that. And strangely enough, tonight there happens to be three things going on. The first thing is two really active flyovers of the space station, 4 minute and a 5 minute one. One is at not too long after the show, about 9:48 tonight. It's getting dark. It might not be dark enough to see it at that point, but. And there's another one that's happening at 2:30 in the morning. And this 2:30 one is even a better one as far as where it's going to be in the sky. And the length of it is only 6 minutes. So, and that's, you know, a pretty amazing 6 minutes. You know, when you're just sitting there looking at something moving slowly in the sky, it's quite a long time. And then part two of that is this, that the United States, you know, after the space shuttle program shut down, you know, whenever we went to the International Space Station, which, remember, it's international, it's just not astronauts from the United States, from Russia, a couple of other countries, and they have different missions. But the only way to get there, and the only easy way to get there, it's part of the deal, was to be able to take the Soyuz rockets from Russia and go that way. There was no American craft yet developed for passengers. There was one initial craft that was being developed for supplies. And finally, after years of research, about 10 years altogether, tomorrow afternoon, if the weather permits, if not, it'll be within the next couple of days, the first two astronauts are blasting off from the United States to the space station directly, and it'll be incredible. And then they'll be coming back at some point in time. This is done in connection with NASA, and which is cool, SpaceX, which is Elon Musk's company, first government and private partnership for space, and it will absolutely be the beginning of space travel, commercial space travel. This will be the first unit. So that's exciting. Now, we won't be able to see that part of it because the launch up there takes place at 4 in the afternoon, then there's a docking, but I don't know where any information on that yet. I will find out if there's any way to view the docking. You know, Stuart is going to be there. There's no question. I'm going to be outside, I'm going to be looking through my little old binoculars, and maybe I'll see something. Now, part three of that. And so strangely enough, tonight was the first night for about 2 weeks that you're going to have a totally clear view of the Starlink satellites tonight. And there'll be, I'll tell you exactly. There's going to be a flyover of the Starlink satellites, and that is going to happen. I'm almost there, folks. Give me a second. It's going to happen, I believe it's 2:30 in the morning. And I'll tell you exactly what I know about that. Right here. Almost. Okay, here we go. So, what we got going is a Starlink. Sorry, I had a mechanic. Crazy fun. There's going to be a flyover at 3:30 in the morning. That's coming up this coming morning. It'll be the 27th because after midnight the date changes. That's how I got messed up with this calendar at one point. So the 26th. But the reality is after midnight it's another day. So I missed a couple of them by day because I wasn't paying attention. But okay, so what we got going now is we got a really beautiful flyover tonight. And we're going to be able to see it. It's going to happen at 3:29 in the morning. And it's going to last about 7 minutes. Now, the last time I saw this, first, actually, the only time, they said it was going to only be for 6 to 10 minutes. It was almost 40 minutes of satellites going. Just when you thought it thinned out, then all of a sudden it was two more coming. It was just, and it was always in pairs. Anyway, if I didn't know better, I'd think, oh boy, we're getting invaded by aliens. It's happening. All right, so that will start in the southwest part of the sky and go to the east, which is perfect. So they're going to basically go right overhead. And if it stays as clear as it is right now, it should be good. Though there's some cloud coming in, I still think we're going to be okay. Anyway, so that's some information there. Honestly, if you're really interested, you can go to the International Space Station in Google, and they'll have a flyover schedule. And then starlink.com, and that'll tell you when the satellites are flying over, and it'll give you the ability to put your zip code in and all that, and you'll get some info. It's going to be continuous for the next couple of days. Actually, the Starlink stuff is happening one more time 24 hours from this morning. So the next morning will actually be the morning of the 28th, which will be tomorrow through the night, then after midnight, then at 2:30. There's a six-minute flyover. But that's going to be a lot harder to see because it's just going to be way off in the distance of the sky. It starts in the southeast and only goes up to the east. So it's like as far as you can see looking east, it's going to be way far. So you probably won't see it. But they're giving us a huge, excellent visibility rating for tonight. 2.3 out of 4 as far as how good it'll be able to see it. So that's not bad. I've never seen a 4 as long as I've been looking, though. I've only seen it a few times. I've seen a 3. So 2.3 is almost 3. It's going to be pretty good. And the first time I saw it was a 3. So, all right. Now that I bored you totally silly with all this stuff, I'm hoping that maybe just to give yourself a little treat, maybe you or Sweetie or yourself in a Haagen-Dazs or something, set your alarm if you fall asleep early and just go outside. Just do it and see if you can get an idea of what's going on in outer space. All right. So in line with all that stuff, there's a couple of things that are going on, which I thought that you might want to know about. A couple of more restaurants are starting to open up, which will be really kind of good because they are going to get back to a little bit of business. They're only going to be open for to go, but these are places that have been closed for several weeks, one being San Juan Lanes, the bowling alley, and then, of course, Washington. Good people there, and I would absolutely, now they're only doing it on the weekends, and so you need to call ahead and order your food. But they got a great big parking lot. And, I was thinking about this the other day. We were talking about some music performances and possibly some movies besides the drive-in. And I was thinking, well, look at the big parking lot. And the other day when I was driving by, I went, oh, wait a minute, it's totally empty. And their parking lot, I think, can hold about, 70 to 80 cars, maybe. And, they used to always have the car shows there and the rallies, which I think they'll still have during the summer. And that would be a good place to be able to go and safely space apart, maybe have a little musical event or a movie event or something. Anyway, just an idea. But they are in Scarsdale eating their food this weekend on 31st. So I encourage you all to get there and support them because I know they've been closed for a long time. Bowling alleys were like on the hit list right off the bat. You know, they were just right there with hair salons. Bowling alleys is really hard because how do you wash every lane down every time somebody puts a pair of shoes on or uses a ball and the pins and everything like that? It's just too much work. Bowling would be very hard to get it working. But they do have a huge restaurant there. And I know that it's probably the first time that place has been closed in 40 or 50 years. I wouldn't doubt it, at least since the 60s. And I know in its present incarnation, I think these owners have owned it and ran it, current owners, for about 10 to 12 years or something like that. And I don't think they've ever had a shutdown like this before. Other than a failure, refrigeration, or power failure. Remember, a couple of years ago, we had a power failure. We shut down for a couple of hours. Anyway, so support those guys. Also, continue to support our other buddies and budettes. Now, just to let you know, I'm going to be back on the air tonight at 11:30, and that will be 2 hours from now for part two of the show. So anyway, I have a lot of stuff to cover, so I just want to let everybody know that I will be here at 11:30 tonight, and I will do the second part of the show. We'll be talking a little bit more about some changes in some of the testing and some of the certain doctor or dentist office that are opening up now for some visits and procedures, and really important to certain things to get screened and checked out for. I'm going in on Friday, actually, for my first appointment in a while to get certain things that have nothing to do with COVID, God, thank God, but some other stuff because I had put certain things scheduled and I had to cancel. But pardon me, it'll be good to get that done. But I'm advising everybody tonight, we'll be talking about it. There's also a couple of providers that are doing some really helpful visits without very much of a cost. In fact, in some cases, no cost, using the telehealth system. So you can use your smartphone or your home computer to be able to get checked out. And then they'll give you a procedure on how to check your blood pressure before the visit and your regular temperature. So you can't really reach to your phone and do it to you. No, they are going to have some little devices that you can plug into your iPhone and be able to do a temperature check and a few other things that I couldn't believe. Analyze certain things, like some sort of test via saliva or something like that. So, kind of like a breathalyzer, computerized breathalyzer, that could take certain measurements of what might be in your system. But listen, this is what's going to happen right now. This is where we're going to be for a while. All right, but nevertheless, I really appreciate everybody listening tonight and tuning in. And let me give you a little bit of information. First of all, you know, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Chef Stewardo and get access to about 170 shows and podcasts that I've done, ranging all the way back to about 2012 and 13, and all the way forward. Tremendous amounts of great podcasts, all food orientated, not virus orientated or anything. Turned into somebody who really looks back and goes, wow, there were fun things. There's an Israeli feast, there's a Sicilian feast. There's the Beatles food show, which was commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Beatles arriving in America. And we dedicated all the food in that show to the Beatles or what they might have been eating and how to make them. We had a couple of cooking segments. Anything you can think of, the spring shows, the garden, getting your garden ready for the season, the Passover, the Easter shows, the Sicilian food shows, I love the egg shows. We have a Stewardo special called Eggs Goldstein, which is a beautiful Eggs Benedict recipe. Thai pad Thai, I mean, on and on. There's a lot of great shows. And, it'll keep you busy. And, you know, I promote my own stuff. First of all, they're totally free. I don't make any money from them. These were done out of love. And all my podcasts and shows are at no charge, though we're going to monetize it pretty soon, slightly. And it's not going to be very much. It's going to be about 99 cents a show per listen. And that'll help just maintain some of the electricity and the internet fees and things that I have to pay to keep this thing going. And since right now things are tightening up a little bit, I hope I'll be able to generate a little support. But if not, I'll still be doing it. I'm sitting right here in the lounge outside Studio B at 1020 Radio, surrounded by microphones and gramophones and a few computers. And I love this room because this is a creative room. You also have a, I'll have to bring the other cameras just to try to move things around. But it's a beautiful rehearsal room right over there with a bunch of guitars and a couple of keyboards and a nice little drum set. It's a really big room, so you can practice your stuff before you go into the studio, which is across the hall right there, control room Studio A, and I'll be posting some videos of that too. I'm excited about it. We'll have some live music eventually at some point in time on one of our shows. This is it. The next week or two are going to be just straight ahead shows with a few surprises. Basically, I've had 2 months to kind of develop some ideas and some things for the show. So when I'm not on the air, I've been recording, and I've been working on pre-recorded shows, which are great. We can't do them live lots of times, but there are lots of chock-full interviews and stories. And what's really nice is you'll hear a progression in the last 60 shows from the beginning of when this thing was first starting happening to what's going on now. Some things have changed in a really big way, and some things haven't changed at all. Sadly, we've lost too many people. And we'll use the show to honor them and keep it going. All right, that's it. So push comes to shove. You know where to tune in tonight at 11:30. If you need to get in touch with me, it's CHEF, as in Frank, S as in Sam, TUARTO, at hotmail.com. Get in touch with me for sure. Tell me what you want to talk about, any information that you want, whatever it be, in the food world, the music world, and I'll try to help you. All right, so in order for everybody to have a good night, remember, 11:30 tonight, I'll play you a little song that I think, I think I'll just say it. It's just a little, I don't know. I like it. It's the Reggae Refugees of San Francisco, recorded in 1973.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Yeah.